Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Our sermon text this morning, again, the words of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Easter. Here we are. We needed this day. I needed this day. And some of you need this day in ways we don't all know. And some of you who have wrestled and grappled with death, today you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, your Savior, who was laid cold and dead in the grave, wouldn't be caught dead in a grave on Easter. Not today. For he has risen and he lives again. By faith, you have overcome the terrors of death. The wrath of God appeased on Jesus Christ, his only son, punished on him forever, once for all. And now you are freed from the same prison where Jesus went and proclaimed victory. What a day. Easter. So I was watching one of those doctor shows, you know, and one of the sub-themes of the episode was a farmer who got bit. They brought him in and they were trying to figure out what kind of venom it was, what kind of snake had bitten him. And the docs were in New Jersey, so they looked up the state of New Jersey to see what the poisonous snakes were. And they tried a few different antidotes, and nothing seemed to be working. It was anybody's guess. They just couldn't diagnose what had bit him. Until, as it turned out, upon further inspection and a little more digging into the man's history, the bite was from a dog, not a snake. And the infection was not venomous, it was bacterial. Interesting plot twist. But I think you and I could say the same thing. There's so many people out there looking for the wrong cures, the wrong antidotes, things that salve us only for a moment, things that help only for a time. And one of the biggest problems is they don't know what the real issue is, what is at the heart of all of our worst problems. And that is sin. Sin, that means a violation of God's law. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't get the diagnosis. You wouldn't understand the problem if God's word had not come to you and had told you these things and what must happen. As Jesus told his disciples what must happen, and as the angels told the women at the tomb what has happened, why Jesus was gone, and as Jesus would come and appear our resurrected Lord to his followers and to his friends in the days to come. Today we recognize that fatal flaw in death. It has no power, not without sin. And just as if we removed the sting, the barbs that hook into us, Jesus Christ has removed the sting of death, and it is but a flesh wound when death comes for us. That is today's message of life. And so I'm not sure how it happened in the bulletin. We had a little misprint in the sermon theme. Today's theme is Jesus amputates the sting of death. Because death that had no power over him who sinned, not at all, death has no power over you. And so Jesus Christ has amputated the sting of death. Now Paul wrote this letter, 1 Corinthians, to the people in Corinth, the believers in a city called Corinth, because he was aware of some of their Easter doubts, and that maybe shouldn't surprise us. Corinth was a bustling city at the time, bigger than Athens, and it shouldn't be too much of a surprise in this clash of cultures, in this mix of many peoples, that when Christians started talking about the resurrection from the dead, people scoffed in a very sophisticated manner. We get a suggestion of this in sophisticated society, people scoffing at the resurrection of the dead in Athens, when Paul goes and talks to all the philosophers in their forum. And there, they start to usher him off as soon as he utters words about someone rising from the dead. Well, this is nonsense to those who are too smart to possibly believe it. So Paul writes the words that he does about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, a great resurrection chapter, over 50 verses, and perhaps nowhere is Paul more complete in his explanation about rising from the dead. Helpful for those who were having trouble believing it, helpful for you and me as well. If we may have trouble believing it, that might be difficult for us. We wrestle from this from time to time as longtime believers. Maybe some of us are just starting to scratch the surface and haven't really opened up to the idea that resurrecting from the dead, rising from the dead, could possibly be a thing with a God with whom all things are possible. Because this is the Jesus we teach and proclaim. This is the Jesus we love and we long for. This is the Jesus that wants to rescue each and every one of us and reassure us today. There is something beyond the tomb. Death is not the end. Now, anyone who's ever lived knows the sting of death. We know what it's like to be sad. We know what it's like to be sorrowful and to be pressed with the finality of it all, to face the end of what may come. Death's barbs hook in and release its worries, its sorrows, and its confusion. The gripping thought that we may not see a loved one again. The frustration that comes when someone seems to go before it's his time. The prolonged anticipation of someone who really has defied death and has lived in everyone's mind maybe too long. And then it finally happens. The wrestling in the heart when you didn't get that last chance to reconcile with someone who's gone to the grave ahead of you. All of these things are the stingers of death. And the frustrations that Jesus dealt with on Good Friday, that Jesus conquered on Easter. Death sure stings, doesn't it? These are features of a fragile life. There are some dangerous animals out there with pretty serious stingers. You think of aquatic life, jellyfish, stingrays. You think of even the platypus, interesting creature, has poisonous barbs. We might think of snakes, probably a more common one, and scorpions. This past fall, I took our son to the zoo, just a day with Daddy to the zoo, and we went into that aquatic part where you can pet the stingrays, and I just about fell over myself trying to keep Theo from touching the stingrays because I just didn't understand how could they do this? How could the zoo, I know this is embarrassing, but this is what I thought. How could the zoo possibly let children walk over and touch these venomous creatures with their stingers? And I got home and I told Ellie, I don't get this. He really wanted to go and touch the stingrays, and I'm deathly afraid of that. And she had to remind me, they've clipped the stingers off. I've let him touch the stingrays a bunch of times because we have season passes to the zoo. Ellie's already done this with Theo a number of times. What a relief when you see children almost falling in that little shallow pond where you can touch stingrays and sharks. So Paul tells us the sting of death is in fact gone, because the sting of death is in fact sin. And Jesus has de-stung the stinger of death because he has treated sin. He has dealt with it. He has declawed the predator. He has removed the thing that lasts in the predator's attack. Because it was attacked on him, and death had no business attacking our perfect Savior, who did not fall to the pressures of the law and fail at even just one point. He completed it perfectly. He abounded in obedience. And he did it completely for you and for me. So that stinger stuck when it was left on Jesus. And he lives that you and I may die no more. What a perfect life for us to look to and to trust in and to long for, because one day, very soon, whether we like it or not, we will meet him face to face in glory and joy, because you will meet him by faith. Trust him. Trust his Easter promise. You and I may see the appearance of death like a long whip of the tail of a demon-shaped stingray, but it just looks scary. There's so much depth to what Christ has done for us when he says death's sting is truly gone. And that's the thing about that doctor show that I was watching. The reason it took the docs so long to figure out that this was a dog bite was because the farmer wasn't giving it up. The farmer didn't want them to discover that his dog was rabid and probably needed to be put down or at least taken away. The farmer was concerned about what would happen to that dog. He was protecting the dog by withholding the truth that it was the dog, not some snake that had bitten him. And the farmer was willing to die in order to save his dog. And in that way, the farmer is a whole lot like our Savior, willing to die so that you and I might live, willing to protect us, willing to win victories for us, willing to go to the grave and back on our behalf. You may bleed and suffer. You may be martyred for your faith. You may be laid in the grave, but you too, by faith alone, will die no more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.